American armed forces are gearing up rapidly for a possible war with Iraq, but on the home front, the army of people responsible for protecting the nation from terrorist attacks is not at full strength. Thousands of positions for new border guards, the FBI, and other agencies have yet to be filled, largely because of budget disputes between Congress and the White House. Local police, fire, health, and emergency personnel already are stretched thin, and many of the people who are supposed to provide homeland security also are in the reserves and could be called up for military duty, NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
On a recent Saturday morning at a Virginia high school, nurse Sharon Shockley takes a small two-pronged needle from a container and breaks the news gently to a volunteer.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw up the smallpox vaccine, and I'm going to give you 15 stabs to your arm. It won't hurt very much. It's just a little prick.
In fact, Shockley jabs a big fat orange instead to simulate the vaccination. She and hundreds of others here in Arlington County are participating in a mock clinic to help the federal government decide the best way to conduct a massive smallpox immunization. County Health Director Susan Allen says she agreed to the test in part to help train her 200-person department for bioterrorism. Such preparations are essential in a community so close to the nation's capital, but they also come with a price.
We didn't have enough resources to do our basic job before. We got no new resources to do what we have to do for smallpox. So in order to do smallpox, we have to quit doing some other things.
Like public health officials across the country, Allen has trouble finding enough workers even in normal times. With the demands of Homeland Security, she says, the workload has grown tremendously. And the complaints are not just coming from health workers. Fire, police, and other emergency personnel, often called the first responders in the war on terror, say they're feeling the pinch too. And many officials are increasingly concerned that things will get worse if the U.S. goes to war. It turns out that a disproportionate share of first responders are also in the military reserves. Aaron Kennard is the sheriff of Salt Lake County, Utah, and oversees a department of 1,500 people. He says about 120 are in the reserves, and 25 have already been called.
Right now, I have filled these positions by overtime. All of my employees have been more than willing to step up to the plate, make sure that all the shifts are covered. If it becomes an extended situation, then of course I'm going to have to be hiring people to fill these positions, and I'm looking at that now.
He says his big concern is that his regular employees will burn out. But he also worries that finding temporary replacements will be difficult if he has to compete with other law enforcement agencies facing similar shortages. Right now, about 56,000 reservists have been called up, and the number's likely to grow. Police and fire departments around the country say they're finding ways to cope because they know the importance of the military. But Kennard notes there's a certain irony that they're losing people at the same time that another terrorist attack is becoming more likely.
Military buildup is one thing, and the Homeland Security, they are two different things, and we need to make sure that one is not sacrificed at the expense of the other.
His answer is more financial help from the federal government, but that too is a problem. A $3.5 billion package of aid that President Bush proposed a year ago for state and local responders is still stuck in Congress. Even if it's approved soon, the money's intended for equipment and training, not for filling positions. At his confirmation hearing in the Senate last week, Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge said there's a limit to what the federal government can do.
It is a mistake during these difficult times, necessarily for any other level of government to look to the federal government because they're in a deficit as if the federal government did not have a deficit and didn't have to deal with it in a meaningful and aggressive way.
And indeed, the budget stalemate has affected the hiring of lots of federal workers, too. For example, the Immigration and Naturalization Service has been authorized to hire hundreds of new border guards, but the funds have yet to be appropriated. In addition, many agencies are in tight competition for qualified workers, especially in law enforcement, and the effects are rippling throughout the country.
It would have never occurred to me that I had firefighters working as police officers.
Becky Denglinger is the fire chief of Cobb County, Georgia. She says the demand for good workers is so great that a lot of first responders hold more than one job, often to earn extra money on their days off. She calls it the two-hat syndrome and says it could affect a lot of Homeland Security plans. She first noticed it in her own department, where one of her two deputy fire chiefs is also the operations chief for the County Emergency Management Agency.
So when the balloon goes up or when some large-scale incident occurs, the first thing he's supposed to do is leave the fire department and report to the emergency management agency to open the emergency operations center and oversee its function.
That made her wonder just how common such dual responsibilities have become. She decided to survey other counties in the Atlanta area, and the results were startling. Denglinger found, on average, almost one quarter of all workers in 16 area fire departments had other public safety jobs, either as part-time police officers, emergency workers, or volunteer firefighters. She even discovered that an ambulance company that serves much of Cobb County is staffed with many of her employees.
So if I call all my firefighters in, if I do that, I put all my people on notice that they're not supposed to do anything but work for Cobb Fire, this has the potential to keep that ambulance company from operating. Well, obviously that's not in the community's best interest.
Her solution has been to work out an emergency response plan that takes the overlaps into account and sets some priorities for who should report where and when. But Denglinger, who serves on an anti-terrorism task force at Harvard, thinks a lot of emergency planners have yet to understand the extent of the problem. Tom Ridge, at his confirmation hearing, conceded that a lot still needs to be done to make the country more secure, but he and many anti-terrorism experts say the answer to personnel strains isn't necessarily to hire more people, but to make sure that those who are hired are better trained and better deployed.
These are difficult times. You're going to have to set some priorities because we're going to work our way through this difficult economic period. But in the meantime, everybody has to set priorities.
That's something he hopes to do as the new Secretary of Homeland Security. The Senate's expected to confirm him for the job as early as today. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.